Praise the Lord, CGC. It's an awesome evening to be able to come together digitally and to worship God. And wherever you are right now, let's just once again, as we do every time before we start service, just pray and welcome God's presence into this moment. Thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for this opportunity that we have, Lord Jesus. The freedom that we have to worship you, God. The freedom that we have to lift up our voices, Lord God, wherever we are, Lord Jesus, and to give you praise, God. I just pray that you touch each and every member, each and every person that is watching tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray for a special anointing, Lord God, a special presence, Lord God, during this time of worship, Jesus. We thank you so much, God, for what you're going to do, Lord God, in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a powerful name it is.
nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. So say the name of Jesus. Say
and he
whisper his name. Whisper his name. Whisper his name. And he will come to you. Let's call it out. Call out his name, Jesus. Call out his name, Jesus. Just call out his name, Jesus. And he will come to you. It's just as simple as that. All we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. No matter what the situation is that we're facing, no matter what the circumstance is that we're going through, no matter what it looks like in our world, no matter what it looks like in our family, there is power in the name of Jesus. And as a body right now, I just wonder if each one of us could join together in the Spirit and call on the name of Jesus. Call on his name, Jesus. Call out his name, Jesus. Call out his name, Jesus, and he will come to you. Just call out his name, Jesus. Just call out his name, Jesus. Call out his name, Jesus, and he will come to you. Hallelujah. Let's take some time to just worship.
Praise the Lord, church. If you need him, he is just a few syllables away. Whisper his name, call out his name, shout out his name. There's just such a sweet presence in this house tonight. I trust all of you have had a blessed week this week. We had a great week so far. And we want to welcome our brothers and sisters from Prairie du Chien tonight and from Boscobel that are joining us, joining in on our service. So welcome you so very much. We love and appreciate you folks. Appreciate your pastor. Brother Scott Jacobs is a great man of God, great family. We love and appreciate him very dearly, and it's just an honor to be able to speak to you tonight as well as to Calvary Gospel Church. If you're in the Madison area, we'd like for you to remember tomorrow night. We'd like for you to join us for a community drive-in movie night. We're going to be beginning this tomorrow evening around 8 p.m. We just ask that you do abide by the social distancing. I'm so tired of social distancing. My wife won't come. If I'm in the room, she leaves, and we have to eat 6 feet. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking right now. She's sitting on the sofa at home probably saying, I am not. Oh, there's a lot of social distancing here. We got the folks in the sound booth back there, a good 85 feet away, but nevertheless. So tomorrow evening we'll have movie drive-in community evening here, and you're welcome to show up 8 o'clock. Stay in your vehicles. The building will be closed, so if you need to make that little potty break, you're going to have to figure other things out. So Anyway, online services this weekend. Again, 10 a.m. is our Sunday morning service, and we have our 1 p.m. Voices, and then our 5 p.m. African International. If you'd like to support, if you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church and are the giving options, many of you should probably know this by now, but just as a reminder, you can mail it here into the church, 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can go to cgcmadison.org, click the give link, or you can text to give, and that number is on the screen there. As I said, it is so great to be here tonight. It's such a powerful, feels such a powerful move of the Holy Ghost in this place. And missing all of you folks, we've got another month ahead of us to go, and I trust that all is well, and I trust that you're praying for each other. Continue to pray for each other. We're praying for each and every one of you. I come in here to the sanctuary many times, and where most of you sit, and try to do my best to pray for all of you, and just want to you to realize and understand that we love you, we appreciate you. And before I get started tonight, I've been asked this question many times, and I have not responded to it. So if you have asked me this question and I have not responded, it's because I'm kind of coming up with a public response, if you could say that, from having to spend time on the telephone making calls to the individuals. And the question has been asked me is, do I believe, is this pandemic that we're going through, is this real, or is this all an elaborate hoax? This is kind of a loaded question of sorts, because for some people it's very, very real. It has hit home in many of our churches. We just had Sister Julie Puckett here from Calvary Gospel Church. Sister Julie and Brother Norman, Sister Julie's father, passed away this last week. Friday was his funeral. It's a very real thing to their family. I read before I came to church that Brother Eli Hernandez, who was the preacher, the special speaker at one of our services just before all of this broke out and services were canceled all across the nation, he is in very dire health right now, not expected to make it. He's been fighting this for almost 3 months now, 2.5 months. So it's very, very real for some people. Other people, it seems like it has not affected their life much at all. So all I can really tell you is, at this point, it really doesn't matter, because we're all tied up in it together. And I look at this as I'm choosing at this time to focus. When I say it doesn't matter, I'm not trying to say callous, because it doesn't matter, because there's nothing that we can do about this at this point. It has happened. We are in this. And I choose to use my time focusing on God and what he has in store. I don't spend a whole lot of time reading about all of the conspiracy theories and all of these things out there, because this is going to come and this is going to go, and there's going to be something else that hits humanity, and we're going to go through the cycle all over again. But one thing that is constant in all of this, and that is the presence of the Almighty God in our lives. And I choose in this, I want to do what he desires for me. And the bottom line is it's pointless to argue about whether or not this is real or this is a hoax, because nothing that you can do and nothing that I can do right now will change what has happened or reverse what has happened. And all that we can do is look as to how we are going to move forward from this point, moving forward as an individual, moving forward as a family. We're having a pastor's meeting tomorrow on how we're going to move forward as a church. Many of you are struggling with how to move forward in your businesses, and our politicians and our president is grasping at how do we move forward as a country. You see, the truth is my opinion of this matter will change nothing that has happened. Thus, nothing is changing, and thus, my opinion, its value really renders not a whole lot. So I'm not trying to take and skirt the issue. I'm not trying to take and cause any more division, perhaps in your homes or in your marriages. But you know, what are you going to do about it anyway? What are you going to do about it anyway? So let's just move on and let's just let God be God. God will continue. And to continue to pray for those who it is affecting and who it's is suffering by this. So what I'd like to do is moving on in tonight's message. This is kind of, this question has kind of been a spark, I guess you could say, as to why things happen. Why do all of these things happen here in the earth, and why do we have all of these problems? And sometimes we ask ourselves, God, why am I struggling and suffering when other people are getting blessed? So this, I'm going to start a three-part series, and I'm entitling this series, God Has His Reasons. God Has His Reasons. And we'll be covering a number of things in this series. So I want you to gather your families around tonight if you haven't already. Get your notebooks out, get your Bibles out, and let's get started in this series, is God Has His Reasons. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, just one verse of Scripture. This is Paul, and he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, "For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, and fears within." Now, Paul had spoke of his hardship, was speaking to the brothers and sisters at the church there in Corinth, and he was trying to explain to them just exactly what he was going through at that time. Now, the King James or the New King James translation, this verse uses a painfully descriptive phrase, hard-pressed, to describe Paul's trials. I feel here tonight that there are many under the sound of my voice listening to this that have been hard pressed. We spoke on Sunday of between a rock and a hard place, and life has us in between at times a rock and a hard place, as life at times can begin to slowly grind us into powder. But this word, this phrase, hard pressed, Paul used this as we are hard pressed on every side. When you look at this word, the origin of this phrase comes from the practice of squeezing fruit or vegetables, primarily in their part of the world. It was grapes or olives, and they would hard press these grapes or hard press these olives to extract out the juice. For some weeks now, perhaps months or even years or seasons of your life, you may have feel that you are hard pressed. I know most of us can relate. There are times that we groan. There are times that we sweat. There are times that we stay up and we toss and turn all night in our beds. We weep, and at times we have rage in our minds and in our hearts, and yet we cannot find that relief. And no matter the amount of pleading or the intense pressures of life, seemingly never backs down. We are hard pressed on every side. We have conflicts on the outside, and we are fearful on the inside. It happened to Paul, and it is happening to us here today. No matter the pleading or the intense pressure that life places on us, you plead and you cry out perhaps to God, begging for relief. And yet the vice of life's circumstances continue to squeeze tighter and tighter as a snake, a constrictor. With every breath you take, every time you breathe in, you cannot breathe out because of the constrictedness, until you finally cry out to God in frustration And perhaps you're crying out to God tonight, why doesn't God hear me? Why, God, are you ignoring me? And maybe perhaps you say, God, what have I done to deserve this? And you cry, God, please, please, please rescue me. And the question echoes in the recesses of your mind and in your heart. And you ask, why, God, why? Why does God choose not to rescue us at times from our trials? And why does God sometimes seemingly withhold his blessings from our lives? That's the title of this series, God Has His Reasons. So if God has his reasons as to why, does God hide this from us? Is this something that God looks down at us and he maybe looks at me and says, Pastor Roy, I'm hiding some things from you. There's some things that you're asking of me and I'm not going to tell you. We're going to play this little game of hide and seek in life. Does God on purpose hide from us the reasons as to why we struggle in some things in life? And why he does not always bless us? Well, I'm here to declare to you tonight, if you find yourself in that situation, trust me, God is not hiding himself from you. As Paul spoke to the men on Mars Hill that day, as he began to witness to them, God is not very far from any one of you. I declare that same thing tonight, that God is not far. As Sister Fiona led us in worship, call out his name, shout out his name, whisper his name. God is not trying to hide from you. And God is not trying to play games with you. Sometimes we play games with God, but God does not play games the way we play games. So if you're feeling hard-pressed tonight, perhaps you know someone who is. I invite you to prayerfully consider the words of this message and ask the Lord to show you as we go through some of these things. Some of these points are going to help us tonight because they just might apply to your situation and to where you are in your life tonight. So why does God choose at times not to rescue us? Well, I think the number one reason why, if you're taking notes, why God chooses not to rescue us is most of the time it's we don't believe that he can. You see, we have to understand one thing about God. In my office, I have 4 solo cups, the clear solo cups. They're probably 6-ounce cups. And each one of those cups is full, almost to the brim, of mustard seed. The Bible tells us that he gives every man, every woman, we all have a measure of faith. You see, God works in response to faith. Now, this may surprise you. Salvation plays a big part, but salvation is not necessary for you to have faith. God works in response to faith because Hebrews 11:16 tells us that without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. So we understand when God chooses not to rescue us, or it's seemingly like God has perhaps we feel a blind eye to our situation, God is looking to respond to us in faith, or based upon our faith. So, for God to answer our prayers, we must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. You see, our lack of faith or our lack of belief or believing can be a huge hindrance, not because God can't overrule our faithlessness, but because he won't overrule our faithlessness. You see, he never forces faith on anyone. We're all given that measure of faith, and how we choose to use it, God leaves that up to us. So thankfully, all it takes is the faith of a grain of mustard seed to invite God to work in our lives. So if you're sitting in your home tonight, or sitting in your car, or wherever you are perhaps watching this message, all it takes is the faith of a grain of mustard seed to be activated within your life in order for God to begin the rescue process that you so desperately need. You see, understand, it's not how much faith we have that matters. That's why a grain of mustard seed is all that is needed. It's what the scripture tells us, faith as the grain of mustard seed. You see, it's not how much faith we have, but it's in whom our faith rests that matters. You see, who are you believing in today? At this point in your life, who are you putting your trust in? And we have to understand something, that faith plays a huge part in this, but there's some other factors into this as to why God sometimes has his reasons as to why he seems to ignore us. You see, God does not deal particularly well with sin. You see, sin is what drove a wedge between humanity and God. This goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to the book of Genesis in our Bible. In the beginning, God created. And in that creation, God made a man and God created a woman. And sin came into the world through the process of man listening to the wrong voices. So we have to understand that we, by nature, we are sinful creatures. Paul tells us, as he writes to the church in Rome, in the book of Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. All have sinned. I have sinned. You have sinned. All of humanity has sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. I think as we look into the scriptures here tonight, there's no other book in the Bible I feel that better covers the plight of humanity than perhaps the book of Judges. It's in the Old Testament and throughout the book of Judges. It's a reoccurring, a repeating in nature. It goes like this: Israel is blessed. Israel is highly favored of God. Israel, over a period of time, strays from that blessing, begins to ignore the God who blessed them. And then you find that Israel falls into all sorts of types of idolatry. God punishes them for their sins with oppression by foreign peoples. At times, it's sicknesses and it's drought and plagues. The Israelites cry out to God for help. God sends a judge to deliver them from that oppression. Israel repents. Israel turns back to God. God blesses them, and the cycle starts all over again. For over 400 years, they repeat this cycle. You see, when we look at this, it's beyond a generational cycle, but it's a cycle that is a result of the sinful nature of humanity. It is a condition of the soul, and today we are no different. You see, we don't always leave the house in the morning and just plan to go out and sin. You see, sin is subtle, just like Satan is subtle. But you see, we make a choice. But as with the choice, we have to understand there's also a consequence of our choice. There's a law in physics that for every action, there's an opposite reaction. You see, we cannot, listen to me here, we cannot willfully choose to obey God as an individual, as a family, as a church, and as a nation, and simultaneously expect God to bless us. Did you hear what I just said there? Write this down. This is important. We cannot willfully choose to disobey God and simultaneously, at the same time, expect God to bless us. You see, now understand, we as parents, we do this all the time. As our children, we look at our children as parents, we withhold blessings or gifts, nice things if our children are disobedient. How many times around Christmas time have you said to your children, you better watch out, you better be good? Now, I don't believe in Santa Claus, okay? Never have believed in Santa Claus. But nevertheless, we tell our children, you better watch out, you better be good. Santa Claus is coming. You better watch out, you better be good. Jesus is coming. You see, is it really much different with us and God? You see, we have to be careful. You see, certain things when it comes to sin, if we touch that, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, God told them, don't even touch. This is my tree. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't touch that. There's going to be consequences behind it. And the consequences behind it was disobedience and sin. So we have to understand, church, more important than health, more important than wealth, and more important than happiness is whether or not we have the right relationship with God. You see, God so very often will use different circumstances in our life to help us realize just how much we need him. I wish to bring up a word here tonight, and it's a very important word when it comes to relationship, especially our relationship with God, and that word is trust. You see, and trust, when you look at trust, trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And it's very important for us, if we are going to receive the blessings of God and we're going to have God bless our lives, we need to learn to trust God, and we need to learn to trust in God. You see, look at it this way. Faith, when we talked about faith and we talked about trust, faith and trust are like twins. Okay? Our faith begins small and increases with every challenge. It's like a muscle in our body. Our confidence in God's power grows stronger and stronger the more that we exercise it. So when we have trials in our life, when we have these moments of heartbreak and circumstances that are totally beyond our control that force us to turn to our all-powerful God, every time we acknowledge our weakness and see him step in and act on our behalves, what happens is our faith in him begins to grow. And before long, we have this long list of the prayers that are answered from God that make it easier and easier and easier for us to trust in him. So let's take a minute here, and I just want to focus on the word trust for a little bit. Trust is the backbone of any relationship. And we must understand that without trust, there really is no relationship. And relationship is being connected with one another. And so trust, so how do we learn? How do we learn in all of this? How do we learn to trust in God? Well, I think one of the number one points on how to learn to trust in God is stop depending upon yourself. You see, for years I depended upon myself to get myself through all of the problems and messes and such that I got myself into. And I finally came to the realization that I can't get myself out of a mess. I mean, I can't use the same mindset. I can't use my same brain to get me out of something that got me into something. And I had to learn that God eventually put me in a position. God eventually forced my hand and put me in a position to where that I had to learn to trust in Him. You see, we live in a world where trust must be earned. And sometimes it seems very short in supply. But Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, knew what trust is and exactly where we must start when it comes to trust. You see, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, he starts off and he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." This is such a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, your own abilities, your own efforts. You see, most of us have faced disappointments in our life which have taught us that we can only depend upon ourselves. But you see, living the life that God has called us, that God has called us to, means that we have to unlearn some of these lessons and things that we have learned in life. Instead, we're meant, instead of resting on our own understanding and our own abilities, we're meant to rest in God's understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but on God's. And we know in our minds that God possesses all wisdom. Romans 11:33 reads, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." Listen, sometimes trusting him completely like that can just be tough. It can be tough. So each day we must consciously lay aside our own plans and our own expectations and surrender ourselves to his plan. So, what if we don't feel like we can trust him like that? We say, "Well, Pastor, you know, you understand, I've been burned so many times in my life. I don't know if I can trust God like that." Well, that's where our next step comes in. It becomes so very, very prominent, very important. And that is we must cry out to God in prayer. Now, a lot of you may say, "Well, Pastor, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know who's all listening. If you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church or Prairie du Chien or Boscobel, I certainly hope that you would have some knowledge of how to pray. Prayer is nothing more than a simple conversation with God. It does not have to be elaborate. You can whisper his name, you can call out his name, or you can cry it out, scream it out, yell it out. But you see, in essence, prayer is a conversation with God in which you are surrendering your will, your desires, your wants to him. You don't have to have any special way to pray. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be below a cross or a picture of Jesus. It just begins with your lips and your thoughts and taking your frustration and pouring it out to him. You see, we need more than just a commitment to depend on him. We need to cry out to him to show him that dependence on him. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him." In all your ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will make your path straight. Some of us here tonight, we've created some pretty crooked paths for ourselves. And God is seeking, God is asking, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He promises, He says, I will make your path straight. So when we pray, we admit that His ways are higher than our ways. We show that we're leaving our troubles and we're leaving our burdens, as well as our dreams and ambitions, in His capable hands. In fact, the Bible promises that when we reach out to Him in prayer, He will hear us. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. The psalmist tells us that in Psalms 55, 17. We handed the keys of our lives to Him, and we know that He is able to lead us. But you see, in order for all of this to work, in order for God to reach in and bless our lives, we have to run from evil. You see, I talked about sin. I talked about what sin is, but you see, so much of the world can clutter up our relationship with God. Through this last few months, life in some areas of my life have gotten extremely simple. Other areas have gotten more complicated as we try to adjust to some of the changes. But one thing that I am finding out is that there has been a tremendous amount of clutter in my life. And so much of this world, you know, even things at church can be a clutter. Even things in ministry that we like to say, well, this is the ministry, it can be a clutter. You see, so much of this world can clutter up our relationship with God. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, he describes them this way: as the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, in other words, our ministry, our blessings, the very blessings that God perhaps has blessed you with, just as Israel in the book of Judges, the very blessings that God gave them became a stumbling block and ended up destroying them. You see, when we think of them as what we deserve or what we need to be happy, our blessings no longer become blessings, but they become stumbling blocks in our lives. You see, instead, our lives work best when we remember that the true source of our blessings is none other than God Himself. You see, America, we feel that our blessings are a result of hard work, work ethic. Our blessings on this country are a result of God Himself. But see, we no longer focus on the things that please Him. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I think I've stated recently that Proverbs is a great read. I've recommended that you read it every day. There's a chapter for every day. Every day, every week. Read a chapter. Sometimes the only way to live the life that God wants us to live is by separating ourselves from those influences that keep dragging us down. In these trying times when we're somewhat separated from one another, this can be so, so vitally important. Timothy tells us in his book, or Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Is that easy to do? No, it's not always that easy to do. You see, fleeing from evil desires that pull at us means that we have to spend a lot more time crying out to God and leaning upon God. But you see, God, our Creator, promises. He promises to honor our commitment to Him when we turn our backs and when we shun evil. Proverbs 3:8 tells us this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. What a blessing. When we pursue Him, we find life, we find abundant life. Running from evil and pursuing God doesn't come naturally to most of us. Most of us, we struggle with this. Instead, it means that we have to make some serious change in our lives. Now, I'm going to stop at this point tonight. We'll continue this on Sunday morning. But perhaps if this lesson hits home with you tonight, or perhaps somebody that you may know, I just want to encourage you to submit your life to the Lord. If you're tired, frustrated, weary, perhaps you're asking God, how come I'm not getting the blessings that I feel I deserve? It's okay to ask God that question. Look at your life. God's not trying to hide anything. He's just seeking to show you. Seeking to show you. I want to encourage you to submit to the Lord and make that change and allow once again perhaps the blessings of the Lord to flow into your life. But you see, it all starts with a turnaround, with repentance. If you haven't taken on His name in baptism, it's very critical that you are baptized in His name, in the name of Jesus. The neat part about this, folks, is it just doesn't stop with repentance. It doesn't stop with baptism. He doesn't leave us unarmed to face the enemy alone. He says, you know what? I got something that I want to give to you. I came here on this earth, Emmanuel, God with us. But I desire to be the Holy Spirit, God in us, God in you. This is why the Holy Spirit is so vital to our lives. And what a difference it will make. God bless you tonight, Sister Fiona.
I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life and all I am. I surrender. Trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord again, church. Just remember tonight, God has his reasons. We don't believe he can. We have sin in our lives. We have a trust factor with God. Stop depending upon yourself. Cry out to God in prayer. Flee from evil. There's usually a reason why. There's usually a reason why God doesn't desire to hide any of this from us. So we'll be back here Sunday. Remember, tomorrow evening will be movie night at 8 o'clock. Brother Jerry Simmons and the outreach team will be conducting that. I want to thank all of you for coming in tonight. Sister Fiona, great job. Thank you so much. So, church, be safe. Be smart. Be saved, sanctified, and sanitized. God bless you all. We love you. See you on Sunday morning.